giving the signals that we've seen from the market in the last few auctions. Rob, what is very pertinent to you?
Hi, Michelle. Yes, so I mean, we've noticed that obviously government is trying to raise quite a bit of cash this year. There's a very sizable domestic borrowing requirement. It's a result of a few factors, including sort of the large deficits that we are still running, which, you know, government has been trying to bring down to some extent. But also a lot of the borrowing we've done over the past decade has started coming due. And so they obviously need to try and borrow some cash to settle some of the loans as they become due and payable. And we've seen that between sort of the fiscal outlook, the risks around likely more spending than what's initially been anticipated, so larger deficits going forward, as well as political uncertainty, the market has changed its view. We've seen in the last few auctions especially that the market is betting very heavily on the short end of government's yield curve. So we're seeing sort of, you know, government bonds 3, 4, 5 years out, seeing the bulk of the interest. The longer dated bonds, we're seeing a lot less interest in sort of some pushback on the yields there from the market. And this is effectively indicative of a market that is a bit cautious on what that long-term outlook holds, preferring to hold shorter duration paper, which carries less risk given for the yield that they're getting. And, you know, it's important to bear in mind the fixed income market, whether it's in Namibia or in the US, tends to be a very good indicator of what people think is going to happen.
Yeah. And I mean, it can also be the level of the yields on offer, you know. So obviously, if government would pay up, then I'm sure that would push out to the longer end.
Yes. And I mean, there are a few other factors. The banks sit with a lot of liquidity, and obviously they are limited in how far they can go out in duration. But, you know, if you think back to 6 months ago versus where we are now, I think the combination of this increase in supply in government bonds because we are issuing more debt, along with a limited demand and this sort of risk on the longer term outlook, you know, oil and gas decisions being delayed to later next year, uncertainty around the new cabinet, some of the policy talk that's coming out of it is making the market.
Yeah. I think, Rob, before we get to the budget and the implementation plans, maybe just from what my, you know, the various analysts that I speak to, everybody talks about an increase in domestic debt, but it seems like from that, everybody's on the same page that government won't necessarily enter into further foreign debt arrangements.
Yes. So, I mean, I think the sort of sentiment that we get from government is foreign debt can be risky and can be quite expensive. And I think we've had our fingers burnt with the 2 Eurobonds. You know, if you consider the size that we issued in 2011 and 2015 and the exchange rates at which we issued back then versus now are a good indication that you know, it can be dangerous, especially if you don't hedge. Hedging can be expensive as well. But also the indications that we've had is that the marketing that government is seeing or the pricing that government is seeing in the market at the moment on the Eurobond is quite high. And if you then account for the exchange rate moves, they're better off issuing in the domestic market. And it puts less pressure on things like the international reserve position, you know, the ability to maintain the rand peg. And so there is definitely clear favoring for domestic debt, which I think is probably the prudent way to go. The question is, if you're trying to issue a lot more going forward, can the domestic market absorb it?
Well, that's the question. So in other words, if they don't pay up, the only way then to get your local participants to increase their taking is then to change legislation, isn't it?
Yes. So, I mean, what sort of starts worrying us is if you look at the budget that was tabled earlier this year versus the promises in SWAPO's manifesto and then reiterated in that manifesto implementation plan, it's indicative of a lot more spending that should be coming that we haven't seen put through in the numbers yet. The risk there is that your deficits, you know, going forward are going to be much larger than what we currently have planned. And that means your domestic borrowing requirements are going to be much larger than planned. And what we're seeing is that there is obviously some appetite, but it's limited. And especially if we see more supply coming through, economics 101 tells you if that supply goes up, you know, it's going to impact price. And so, you know, the market should push back and make government debt a bit more expensive, which means our debt servicing costs go up. On the other side, there's also just, quite frankly, limited ability to take on that much more domestic exposure. And so we see, I mean, end of last year, the pension funds already sat with about 50% of their assets in Namibia. The minimum requirement is 45%. So they're already more exposed to Namibia than needs to be. But if you start increasing that limit, you start distorting the local market. You start crowding out private investment. And then also from that, sort of the danger is the pension funds become very heavily exposed to Namibia. If anything goes wrong in Namibia, the pension funds carry that risk. Yeah. And we talk about these pension fund assets or the domestic savings pool as though it's some arbitrary term or that there's no obligation on the other side.
Bear in mind,
pension fund assets also have a corresponding liability, whether it's to current retirees that are being paid out or to, you know, you and I who are still working, contributing to that and need to get an income from that when we retire.
Yeah, and the biggest pension fund is on a defined benefit plan. So, I mean, you've got quite a bit of a liability there. Let's quickly talk about the implementation plan. So, I mean, like any new government, they have got plans and they want to change stuff. So what is standing in their way? You know, they want to make things better. What are we missing or what are they missing?
Yes. So, I mean, I think what's been good to see is that there is, at least on paper, a more concerted effort to try and drive through some of these commitments and these promises. Obviously, things in government tend to move a bit slower. I think the two worries for me, firstly, are given sort of the quantum of the spending planned in the manifesto and this implementation plan, is firstly, where is that money going to come from and at what cost? And then the other side is, quite frankly, we have a very poor track record on implementation for, you know, a lot of these development projects that come through. And so, I mean, if you look at sort of the major development projects we've tried to do over the last few years, whether it's things like Neketal, the oil storage facility, or those sorts of things, they tend to go way longer than planned and well over budget. And that is likely to be a risk as well. You know, the refurbishment of our rail network is a good example there. It's really just to get that money, those tenders done, that money flowing, the rail upgraded is taking a lot longer. And then, I mean, the Trans-Namib locomotive story is another one. It took 2-3 years to get, you know, those deals sorted. A new minister comes in and now we're back to square one on those, delaying it again, likely another 1-3 years.
Exactly. So the question is what causes all these delays? So maybe a last tricky question, if I may. A lot of people say that it's not that there's too little money. There are enough funds. It's how it's spent. So if one would want to rectify this, in other words, still push through with the implementation plan, say there are good initiatives, you can't really say raise income further. Is it a question of reallocating expenses or reallocating funds from one expense to another? Is that the answer?
It needs to be a prioritization of funding. And again, I think, you know, government needs to decide what are its core focuses, what are its core competencies, and what is going to drive, what should the government be driving? Should it be, you know, highly specific or micro projects, or does government need to take a macro focus? What's going to benefit the macro economy, which will in turn drive up revenues and therefore give you more money to spend in future?
Yeah, maybe a next time, we've run out of time, but maybe a next time can touch on the water again. I saw the other day Namwater said the fact that we had good rains doesn't necessarily take the problems away. So, but maybe more on that the next time. Thank you very much, Rob, for speaking to me, and until the next time.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.